part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm gonna do it part. I'm gonna do it part-time. I'm gonna do it part. Fanboy.com.
All right, well, we almost had a full house today, but no full house, but
four of a kind.
Oh yeah,
there's four of us. So okay, so this is the part-time fanboy episode of Age of Ultron. I am Christian Horn, and I am here with you guys. Sound off. Who's on the line?
Paul Edwards, right here.
Yay!
Corey Blake.
And?
Leon Goldberg.
Don't sound so excited, Leon.
You guys, I don't know why. I never sound excited.
You guys
That's what everyone gives me a hard time about.
This was not like a Mouseketeer-worthy greeting, guys.
Well, let's do another one.
No, it's fine.
Redo it.
It's fine.
No, Leon Goldberg. Yay!
There you go. And all
Leon,
the kids cheer.
We'll make you more excited in post.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, so we are here. What could bring us all together in one podcast, but Avengers Age of Ultron. Guess it did huge business this weekend. Won like 87 or something, or 188. What did you guys think? Who wants to get started? Who wants to stick a fork in this particular wiener? Let's go.
Oh my.
Who's going to do it? Who's going to get us started? I want opinions, and I want them now.
I loved it.
Oh,
but
really?
It was almost too much.
Almost too much. Almost too much. Okay. That's your summation. Leod, Corey, who wants to jump in next? Fight it out.
Corey?
I'll say that I enjoyed it. I'm glad I went, but I have reservations.
Okay. And what about you, Leod?
I'm joining Corey with that, and I'll just add that, I mean, we're so lucky to actually see this, you know, to have this on screen. I mean, you know, two decades ago, we could only dream of comic book movies like this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it suffers from trying to fit in too many characters, too much stuff, too big, and that's kind of the start of where it has some issues. Still, really fun. Really good movie.
Yeah. My opinion, and I was telling people at work, because everyone, like, when I came in, they had heard, you know, we had a thing with our sitter where it canceled and on me and Amy, and, you know, everyone at work knew that I was angry that I couldn't go on Friday night. So I ended up seeing Sunday morning and, like, early morning. And my thing was, like, this morning I told everyone at work, I'm like, it's a mess, but it's like a finger painting mess, like where you're just having so much fun. Like, this is like crazy fun, and the end result is like this amazing mishmash of like stuff, but it's crazy. Like it's a little, you know, I can't say that I absolutely loved it. Like, Winter Soldier is still my favorite, but I still appreciate like everything that was in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I mean,
yeah.
And I'm kind of like with Leod, where I'm like watching stuff and I'm like, this is crazy that I'm looking at this. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I felt like there were a lot of moments where it was like cramming too much. And then when they took time to slow it down, it was obvious when they slowed it down. You know what I mean? Like when it would be so fast, and then they would have like those in between moments, that those moments would almost like lag a bit too much, and a couple of the jokes would fall like really flat, right? So and the biggest problem that I had with it was with the characterization of Ultron. Like, I was just like, no, Ultron doesn't make jokes. Ultron doesn't make quips. Ultron's there to kill everybody. You know what I mean? Like,
but
that was my biggest thing.
Let me tell you something. James Spader does.
Yeah.
Right. But here's the thing. Are you guys watching The Blacklist? Because...
No.
I do watch
because when I'm watching Ultron, and all I'm thinking about is the Blacklist, because he's the kind of villain in the Blacklist, and he does the same like head nod, and they did it with Ultron too. They made him do the same movements. Yeah. And all I can think about is like James Spader in the Blacklist.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Red Reddington is
yeah, it was distracting.
Is the yeah, as a robot. Although you know what was really cool is like I think that Spader's characterization of it really did like echo Downey Jr. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you know, Ultron's supposed to be in a way the anti-Tony Stark, and in a way, like Spader is sort of taking mannerisms from Robert Downey Jr. and sticking them into that characterization.
That's interesting because, I mean, that's a good way of looking at it, but still, for me, like, that was kind of my... Like, Ultron's always been one of my favorite Avengers villains, like, or just, like, one of the crazy comic book villains, because Ultron was is a machine, right? And mm-hmm. he has that big, yeah. scary Halloween mask, which that was another thing. I didn't like how much they messed with the face, you know? Like, Ultron has teeth. I was like, Ultron doesn't have teeth. Like, he's just got this big gaping like maw, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they gave him lips.
Yeah, they gave kinda. Him lips.
They made it move.
Yeah.
They should have just done the silly, like, silly I say, but it could have looked cool, just like the light in the hollow that just like vibrates as he talks.
Yeah, which... well, just even in the comics, the thing that you get is that mouth doesn't move, and for me, like, I always felt like that was a creepy aspect of him, that he was so inhuman that he was just like, because like in the comics, like, I feel like Ultron is, you know, he wants to get rid of all organic life. He's like the Terminator. He just wants to kill like everybody, and he doesn't stop, you know.
Yeah, well, let's face it though, like, this is definitely not the comics.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, definitely.
Well, you know, this is the first Marvel movie I feel like where they do sort of majorly depart from
big
the comics
time.
In
yeah.
order to make it more of a movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. And yeah, and in this one I felt definitely where I was like, oh, we've definitely gone into like alternate universe mode. Corey, what were some of the issues that you had, like reservations that you had?
Well, I think I agree that some of the jokes I was surprisingly unfunny and just sort of like, like the audience just nothing.
Yeah.
Like even
yeah.
even from Robert Downey Jr., whose, you know, charm can usually overcome a poor joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And even so, like there was like he was like singing a song or something while he was trying to decode something, and it was just like dead. Nobody cared.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the jokes from Ultron were strange. I see what you're saying, Paul. I think it's a generous insight into the character, but I felt that it was just to be jokey and quippy.
Yeah.
And I didn't buy it, but I could be because I was too hung up on, you know, sort of my Ultron of, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
similar Christian. So, you know, I'll take that as a, you know, grain of salt. So there's that, and I felt that, you know, it's interesting you should say that this kind of felt like the furthest departure from comics, because while plot-wise that may have been true, I think structure-wise, the way that it relied on previous movies, it's more comic booky than any other Marvel movie so far, in that it's, you know, I think Marvel movies in general have been pretty good about being more standalone than reliant on previous things, where you know you could certainly see the connections if you were paying enough attention, but if you just walked into Captain America Winter Soldier having seen nothing else, you know, you could get through it and be fine. And this one, while I don't think you would be completely lost, I think there is more of a reliance on previous things in this one than others, where now we're getting into comic book, you know, universe continuity issues,
yeah, yeah,
where you're starting to build the stack the blocks up, and it's starting to wobble. It's not self-reliant.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that's a really good point.
Yeah, I agree that this movie definitely doesn't stand on its own. I mean, when you go in to this movie, they are assuming that you're up to speed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And let's just be real clear what that means. It means you've seen Avengers, you've seen Captain America Winter Soldier, you've seen 1.5 seasons of Avengers, the
Shield
show,
yeah,
Agents
yeah,
of
yeah.
Shield. And, you know, I mean, there's like a lot, you know, Iron Man, you've seen Iron Man at least you know, one, two, maybe three, you know, like, I mean, it's, it, you know, you've, maybe you've seen Thor, maybe you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, it's, that's a lot. That's a lot of things.
It is definitely a lot. Yeah.
And, no. And I mean, it works for us, you know.
Yeah.
And
well,
for us, for sure. The... But, you know, I was talking to some people at work and like her, niece had, you know, she's just a little kid, you know, and she, at school they're getting to the age where it's like, you know, the peer pressure of like, oh, you should
have you seen
Avengers, you need to talk, you know, and so she's going home like, Mom, I have to see these movies, and so now it's like she has homework to see this movie to catch up on the movie, you know, so that she can talk about it. And
yeah, that's interesting, because that's the thing is, I know that I got into a lot of discussions with people about the first Avengers movie, and that's the thing is, like, I think like the Avengers, like the first one, which could have been more standalone than this one for sure, but I think the first one was very much like what you're saying as well, Corey, where it's like you, but I think the first one you could walk into readily, like not having seen anything else a little bit more, but you still, you still, they still were kind of assuming like, oh, this is very much like you have seen like the other Iron Mans, the Captain America, Thor,
I think with those it was more of a you know, walking in with an awareness. So if you caught the marketing of those movies, you're probably all right. But with this, it's like you had to know that S.H.I.E.L.D. had been destroyed. You had to know what Hydra was and what their involvement was.
Uh-huh.
You had to know who Thanos was and remember who he was from two movies ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot of more nuanced rather than just sort of like you have to know these characters exist in these world. This world.
Well, see, that's a really interesting point, because the point, one of the points I made about Avengers and like about like all of these movies is that they're sort of like Harry Potter. Right? Like at some point, you know, this is like a whole other way of viewing film, I think. I think that we've walked into, you know, a place where the franchises are so like, you know, franchise movies are so, you know, as they move along, become so dependent on one another that that it's almost like watching a TV show, but like every 2 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Like a giant, huge budget TV show or a huge budget like movie serial, like from like back in the day. But now the budgets are just gigantic and it takes like a year or two like, to come out.
Or it's like reading comics for 50 years.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, that's and that's a big danger.
Yay, we get to share our frustrations with the rest of the world.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing that, you know, one of the things that I think I said about like on the Agent Carter podcast is that, you know, you're getting into a place where it's like Marvel is like, hey, if you want the full picture, you kind of gotta watch all this stuff. You don't necessarily have to, but it helps. And so now with Age of Ultron, are you guys getting the feeling that we've reached the one movie where it's like, oh yeah, you need to have seen everything, you know?
Maybe not everything, but
no,
maybe not everything, but like it's getting to the point. I think it's certainly with the Avengers movies, maybe not going to be on the standalones, but it is, I think, from this point on, you're really going to have to be up to speed on everything if you're going to watch an Avengers movie. Especially if, like, spoiler alert, the second string team is, like, the new Avengers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, which, yeah, we can get to that later, because that, to me, was like, whoa, what are you guys doing? You know?
Right.
But like I feel like the standalones are not going to be quite as much. But I feel like the Avengers movies for sure, that's where it's going to be, where they're tying like all the little bits together. And like I said, in this one it was almost too much. I mean, the only thing that like didn't make it, you know, too much was like a shot of Matt Murdock walking down the street.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, throwing in like some of the characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like on the helicarrier or
something like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, which I was very thankful for. I mean, I know at the beginning of the movie there was a character, one of the villains, who was like a tie-in to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But that's not an... Oh, what? I'm sorry. I must have... I apologize for the speaking over you. I was saying that's not entirely true. They did have one of... Didn't they have one of the agents... from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the show, like for 2 seconds.
I didn't see that.
I think it was just Maria Hill, wasn't it? Was there
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's from the movies. She was established in the movies, but she's also
been on the show.
Well, so she's bridging, and so that's what I'm saying.
So like, Sam Jackson's.
Yeah, you know, Sam Jackson was on the show for an episode, and the villain in the beginning of the that's working with Baron Strucker, he had a slightly bigger part in the show. So I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is leaking into it, which distresses me a little bit because I'm not crazy about that show, and I just felt like. I don't mind
characters showing up. I mean, it's like I haven't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, after first five episodes and becoming catatonic. So I don't, Marie Hill, I knew she was kind of in it, but it didn't, you know, it doesn't matter to the story, to the Avengers. You know, it's like you can watch Avengers Age of Ultron, and I had no idea about the Baron Strucker, about that character, the other character, that other villain, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. And it didn't affect the movie for me. I mean, so there's one thing of like sort of little nods for those that do watch, and that's I think fun and fine because it's not a deterrent to those who haven't seen it.
But when
plot points are actually reliant on previous movies and TV shows and, you know, DVD shorts and, you know, Netflix series and things like that, you know, they ain't gone that far yet. But, I mean, it feels like it's heading that direction. And Paul, I think you make a good point that I hope you're right about that it won't be, you know, maybe Avengers will be the big continuity heavy, if you will, sort of show, and the solo movies will be sort of their own things. That'd be fun.
I mean, definitely Ant-Man like seems like it is removed from the big picture of, you know, everything that's going on with the Infinity Stones and blah blah blah, you know. Certainly. And did you guys see the trailer for it before the movie?
Yeah, Ant-Man.
That actually got like a lot of laughs. I was, you know, people were.
It was really good.
People were kind of into it, so that was kind of nice to see.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, again, I'm hoping that the self-contained movies, at least, you know, sort of the ones that are in what are we going to be in phase three now?
Yeah, I guess. Are we in phase
after
two?
Ant-Man, yeah, I think after this movie or after the Iron Man Civil War thing, or Captain America Civil War. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, some of those are going to be more self-contained, like certainly Doctor Strange and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's.
I mean, they are pretty good usually where the first movie is self-contained to establish itself, and then
in a way they do run the risk of like the same problem the comics fans have had for years, where, you know, you have these like big crossover events and you were just like, fuck, now I gotta go buy, you know, an issue of like this comic that I
Silver
never
Sable.
Read exactly.
Yeah, exactly,
just so that I can understand what's going on in the whole thing.
I mean, and that was sort of the big thing with me was, well, I mean, I've been plugged into everything, but beyond just it being sort of continuity heavy, I mean, I just had problems sort of with the pacing and the way things were like going, and like one of my big things was, you know, I like to sit towards the back of the theater, sometimes all the way back, and I was pretty far back, and there were times in the fights where I was like feeling like I'm a little too close to this, and I'm in the back of the theater, like I couldn't tell like what was going on, and sometimes certain things, especially in that opening fight, the raid on like Baron Strucker's like castle or whatever, where I felt like it looked very computery, like things were starting to look like very CGI to me, which is okay, because like what is our option? Stop motion puppetry, like, you know what I mean? At this point I'm a little over like CGI looking so fakey, but this definitely, there were some scenes in this movie where I was some of the CGI was absolutely astounding, and then there were other scenes, like I said in the opening, where I felt like, well, that guy looks like plastic being thrown around, you know.
Okay,
I mean?
I've got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Do you think it was harder to really get into the Avengers coming off of Daredevil?
Yeah, probably.
No, I walked out of it thinking Daredevil was more enjoyable, and then
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, all the stuff that we were talking about, how we loved about Daredevil, like, you know, the like the fight scenes and how it was like very realistic and very, you know, like down to earth, you know, and this is sort of the direct opposite.
Yeah,
of that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Where it's very
out there, but here's
very out there, and yeah. like you know, and again, like these aren't people; these are you know the gods. You know, these are yeah, this is the yeah. A team. So in a way, like I don't have the same, I guess, expectations of it, but. It's kind of funny, like, again, like, just like the people who have been reading books month to month, it's like, wow, there was a reason I loved Daredevil more than the other books, you know,
yeah.
that came out at
well,
the
I
time.
Well, I think, I mean, kind of going back to Christian's point, you know, looking at structure and pacing and that sort of thing, I think Daredevil is far superior, and I think, you know, I think that's the new bar, that's the new, you know, that's the new standard
well,
for
that
me.
That and Winter Soldier, I mean, as far as, like, a movie is concerned, because Daredevil has, like, 13 hours to play
sure.
out, and it's kind of unfair to, like, compare, like, I mean, as long as this movie was, for God's sake, 2.5 hours... you know,
well, even but even to oh, all right, you know, just take the first pilot episode, and I'd
yeah.
say that's better.
Although,
than
you know what,
yeah,
to its credit, man, I didn't feel 2.5 hours.
Me neither, I will say that,
That thing went by, you know, really quickly, and yeah. I mean, that, and I think that's probably in a way its best feature, you know,
yeah.
because it just kept it moving along. Like, once the train was going, it was going. And,
yeah.
you know, like, hey, you know, hey, look, it's the, you know, it's Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Look, it's the Vision, you know, like, I mean, they were just introducing new elements like crazy. And in a way, like, that's what made it feel like almost like a George Perez book or something like that.
Yeah,
because,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like it
yeah,
just kept funny. Going for.
Well,
you
that
know.
That's the funny thing is that I wanted to mention too is I posted it on Facebook that I read the Avengers number 4 where Captain America gets de-thawed out like for the first time in years
mm-hmm.
and I read that comic and I was like and I'm so glad I did before I saw this movie because when I was reading that comic I was like oh my god there's all this crazy stuff like literally it does not stop like so much stuff happens in that one book like you know what I'm saying and this movie was really like in a way I feel like Joss Whedon maybe did go back and read like Jack Kirby Avengers comics because there was so much stuff going on in this movie and in a way I appreciated it but then in a way there was a part of me that was like stop give me a second you know what I mean but at the same time like the things that were spectacular like the Hulk fight in South Africa like the vision like I loved Scarlet Witch and more Scarlet Witch than Quicksilver because I don't think they gave Quicksilver enough to do but like
well they gave him plenty to do but he was moving too fast
you couldn't see him but you know I thought that the spectacular stuff like the really big giant you know fight stuff for the most part was really impressive you know what I mean where you know there were times where I got a little bit like whoa slow down but at the same time there were more times where I was like oh my god I can't believe what I'm looking at right now you know what I mean to
yeah.
a certain extent as
right.
a comic fan, you know what I'm saying? But I think Paul is right, where it's like, this is very much like the George Perez, Jack Kirby, maybe not so much Jack Kirby, because even Jack Kirby would be like even more crazy and fantastic, you know what I mean? But you
and,
know,
and more square jaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're right. Like, this is sort of like the biggest it's going to get, you know, and maybe that's what they were trying to give us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's an interesting, you know, point because it did feel a little like overstuffed, as I've seen people say, and a
yeah.
little, you know, crowded with ideas and story and, you know, just sort of the simplicity. I think, you know, again, going back to Daredevil, you know, the simplicity of that, you know, again, even if you looked at the pilot or something like that, simplicity, just the, you know, the through line of that is just really clean and clear and crisp and other C words. And, and you know this is very, it's you know it's a little all over the place a little muddled you know again it's fun you know like I loved the Vision who you know he's one of my favorite characters in Avengers and I thought they nailed him and I thought I loved that you know there's a lot of fun action pieces I appreciated many although not all of the character moments
yeah.
And, you know, so there was a lot of good stuff. I don't mean to be sounding like I hated it. I actually did have a good time with it. But I think just that, you know, I think, as I said, the bar has been kind of reset. And I think it may be unfortunate timing that this remarkable TV show that just came out that really, I think, most of us expected to be just kind of hopefully cool.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out to be a really actually quite impressive show, and then right on the heels of it is an Avengers show, that Avengers movie that is, you know, in line with the first Avengers movie. I mean, it's definitely a sequel to that movie. It's very much tonally, you know, similar and covering that kind of tonal ground.
Yeah, I mean, I feel though that the Avengers kind of had a little bit more focus to it, like the first one for sure.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
especially well, yeah. as it moved along. Like this one, definitely, it was like I almost feel like this might have been split up into two movies. And then the other thing that I really felt, just being from a comic book perspective, like I was like so bummed out that Marvel didn't have the X-Men franchise, because to me there were moments where I was watching this movie and I'm like, dude, maybe this should be called Age of Magneto. Like the way that they were interacting with Ultron, like Wanda and Pietro, I was like, can you imagine like if it had been Magneto that was like the crazy villain that was trying to take over the world? And like I felt like there were these little moments that Joss Whedon kind of like let leech out that were like in line with that sort of structure, where it was like, you know, they were really, yes, exactly. They were like really, really close allies. And then, you know, they had to split apart. And that was sort of the relationship with Magneto, right? Like they thought he was his dad, and then they have to turn on him because, oh, dad is crazy as a cuckoo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So there was a part, and obviously in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, the Inhumans are sort of becoming the stand-in for the mutants, like the X-Men, right? So
yeah,
I just thought it was it just felt like a little bit of a missed opportunity where I could see. But, you know, there are also a lot of like really great moments, like with Ultron, where, you know, they come and meet him in the church and like
right.
he's got his back to them. And I'm like, dude, if that's not supposed to be Dr. Doom, I don't know who is, like where he's like sitting in the chair and the throne and just like you hear his voice and they're like talking and you don't know who he is. Like that to me was like, so in a way it was weird. I felt like Ultron almost became like an amalgam of like other Marvel villains, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean that's a good point. I mean that's true, and you know, I think that they needed, you know, it's kind of interesting because like in a way it's like, okay, they're clearly like topping the villainy, you know, that they of everything that's come before. It's like, you know, it's the whole thing of like raising the stakes and everything like that.
Yeah,
honestly, it makes me a little worried about Thanos, because it's like, wow, like how are you gonna outdo that, you know?
Yeah.
What I mean, it's like at what point, you know, I don't know, it seems like you know, we haven't seen much of Thanos. They've been building him up.
Yes,
you know,
I'm tired
for
of it.
A long time.
Yeah.
And I'm a little worried that when we finally get to Thanos, that we're gonna be kind of let down.
Yeah, I mean, but what I'm really I'm just tired of Thanos. I'm like, really, like shit or get off the pot, dude. Like at this point, like let's they keep teasing him, you know, and it's like, he hasn't really done, I mean, well, he kind of like backed the Chitauri invasion in the first Avengers, but beyond that, like, all we know is that he's searching for gemstones, right? And
right.
Big deal.
Right.
Like, what has this guy done, you know? And in a way, I almost think, like, kind of sticking Thanos in, like, especially so early in the Avengers, might have been a mistake, because maybe you could have revealed Thanos later and it been a bigger surprise, and you not have to focus so much on like Thanos is coming, you know what I mean? Instead, you could have just been in the moment of like Ultron, you know, this is happening, that's happening. Because right now, I'm not really seeing a point where all this gels together. Because so far, a lot of the threats, like in Winter Soldier, in this movie, have been sort of like terrestrial, where they almost forgot about like Thanos. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Yeah,
I disagree, though, because I think for us, you're absolutely right. That would be fine. And they could like never mention him, just throw in the gemstones and like have it be something where they're if you know what it is, it's a wink at it, but not ever introduce him and then retroactively like say that he was responsible for the Chitauri and all the invasion and all this other stuff. But for people who have no clue, I think they needed to kind of build their awareness of him and build
I don't think,
you know,
so, man,
the
because
idea.
They didn't need to build awareness of Ultron, and you know, they didn't need to build awareness of other villains.
Well, that's
they've kind of just
Ultron
shown
it,
up.
No, but that's because Ultron is kind of irrelevant, really. I mean, think about it. First of
but the, so that's what I'm saying. Thanos is right now. He hasn't done anything. Like, what is the threat?
Right, but the idea of some so it just doesn't come off as like, oh, some aliens invading Earth. You know, so there's context so that it's more in people's mind. That's the difference. You know, otherwise it's just a purple alien invading Earth. Like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know about that, because I feel like Thanos would have been welcomed just as much as by fans or people, like just as much as Ultron was, right? Because when Thanos shows up in the first Avengers, everyone's like, who the hell is that? And everyone had to ask and find out. And then they needed to go to people like us who are like, that's Thanos. You know, and we have to explain what Thanos is. And some of us, like me, didn't even know his full story, right? So I think, right, like having this obscure villain, like especially, you know, again, spoiler, the thing at the end where I'm just gonna do it myself, I'm like, ugh, really? Like, you know what I mean? I was just kind of like, all right, let's get to it already. You know, I'm kind of getting tired of waiting around for him.
Well,
to
that's
do
the
something.
Next Avengers movie.
Yeah,
he's
which
do
is it going to come for like 3 years or something like that? Probably, right?
Because he never said he was going to do it quickly.
yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Let's talk a little bit about the story, though. I mean, like, how did everyone, like, you know, what it starts off with them invading like Baron Strucker's, you know, which was a lead-in from kind of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? Where
Right.
Coulson,
well, I mean,
who got Nick Fury and the Avengers the information, right?
Yeah, and this sort of seemed like the final, like, sort of strike against Hydra for now. It seems that Hydra is going to go sort of to the back burner at this point in the Marvel universe.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah. That seemed to be the conclusion of that story.
Yes.
But I think one thing that somebody brought up to me that I didn't realize was at the end of the last Avengers movie, all the characters were kind of going their own way, and it kind of felt like, you know, well, are they all done with each other?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then, you know, and so it was kind of left hanging, like, well, hopefully we'll be able to bring them back together when we need them.
Yeah.
And then this movie opens up, and oh, yeah, we're all together. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's like,
they're all together, and they've been working together for a little while. I mean, certainly, you know, Black Widow's been working with the Hulk, trying to tame, you know, his ability, you know, the ability to transform back into Banner, get that underlined. You know, like they clearly have had some sort of contact, you know.
They've been having missions and stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that. I kind of like the idea that, like, yeah, like off screen they've been working together, because you can sort of imagine like sort of any storyline in the middle. And I always like that from the comics, you know, like where you were free to imagine the things that happened that when they weren't together.
Yeah.
I just think it was kind of a missed opportunity when you kind of dangle it like, oh, these various personalities, we don't know if we can get them back together again. And then the next time you see them, no mention of it whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well,
sense.
You know, the first movie was about getting the band all together, and, you know, this is about them touring.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. And at that point, like, what, the twins get introduced, right, again, or they were kind of introduced at the end of what was that? Was it Winter Soldier?
Yeah, I think so. Where they, you know, Strucker was introduced, that they had been working at basically creating... not mutants, enhanced humans.
What did you guys think of the twins? I mean, like, about, like, throughout the movie, I mean, what did you think of their introduction? What did you think of, like, the way they played out during the flick?
It's pretty believable, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I really liked Scarlet Witch. I mean, and that's always been one of my favorite characters in the comics, and I really liked her. I liked Pietro, although I felt like, again, they could have given him a little bit more to do. But
well, how did you think this Pietro compared with the X-Men Pietro?
Well, that's the thing, is they never gave, you know, and that's the other thing too, is and you know, you're at a 2-hour and 20-minute movie, which apparently on the Blu-ray there's going to be a director's cut, which is like 20 minutes longer or something like that, which I would absolutely sit down and watch, because I feel like maybe it would give certain things more breathing room. But but I mean, come on, they just never had the opportunity to really give this Pietro and the Scarlet Witch, to a certain extent, like, their moment to shine, right? They never had their moment, whereas in the last X-Men movie, they definitely gave like Quicksilver his showpiece, right? So
yeah, I thought his, like, he got in the X-Men movie, like that scene where he's, you know, the jailbreak thing, that,
yeah, yeah,
you know, that was pretty cool. I mean, I enjoyed that.
It's absolutely, and then, yeah.
And I don't, yeah, both of them kind of left me kind of like, eh. The only real moment they had was when they were telling Ultron about the, you know, their backstory, which when it started, I was like, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, and at least it did get to somewhere interesting with, you know, it turns out that, that compelling mental image of them just sitting there for days with that bomb that could go off at any moment that has Stark's name on it. That was like a nice, appreciated that, but it was just like, that was it. That was the extent of their whole thing.
Yeah, and I'm gonna kind of disagree on that, because in the sense of, like, I think that certainly Scarlet Witch definitely more moments, because she had essentially every moment that she fucked with their heads, like, sort of was her shining moment, you know, that was the part of the power, because, you know,
but all she did was just stand next to them, look drugged out, and then walk to the next one. I mean, she didn't like to do anything. It was like,
well, she did do something. She was messing with their heads.
Yeah, she was messing with their heads, and I feel,
and you
like
got to
in
see,
a way,
like how she messed with the how her power worked, right?
Well, and but that's just she displaying got powers. It's not really a character moment, you know.
No, I disagree, because in a way
she had a couple.
As she collects, you know, the moments with them, she's in their head and collecting, you know, basically collecting thoughts from them and getting impressions of them, and like that's sort of what leads to them turning on Ultron in a way, you know, like, you know, she's seen the Avengers, and, you know, even though she's, you know, angry and trying to take them down, she still sees what they're all about, and, you know, I felt like it made for sort of a believable, you know, turn when, you know, when it was time for them to come over to the good guy team, like, at least that's how I saw it.
Well, the whole reason that I say that Scarlet Witch has more of a presence in the film than Quicksilver is because I think it was very much like it was in the comics, where she was like the mouthpiece. Whenever they were together, she would be the one that would talk the most, right? I mean, that's the way I remember it. So Elizabeth What's-Her-Face, right? Olsen, right? One of the Olsen twins, right? Or
I prefer Elizabeth What's-Her-Face.
Well, she had more moments to actually interact with people, where Pietro kind of just like stood around, maybe said a line every once in a while, and then would, like, you know, use his super speed, you know, which to me it's like,
she did have that bit with Hawkeye towards the end there in the rubble and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, she definitely did have
that
more
stuff.
That was
more Hawkeye than her, honestly.
Yeah, oh, you're right.
Even in that bit, like, it was more Hawkeye than her. She just sat there, and then he gave a monologue, and then
she walked out. Yeah,
and then she walked out of a room and, you know, swung her hands around and, you know, whatever.
Yep. Yeah, but that was part of the thing that I felt like was what was really good. It was that she was seriously doing some damage in the movie, like Avengers, and it kind of showed the potential of her power, right? And then I really felt really good. I was a little iffy on the scene after the train fight, right, where she's like talking to Captain America and like kind of reasoning with him, and I was like, oh, okay. But then there's a part of me that's like, well, wait a minute, Captain America, she messed with everyone's mind, you're gonna stand there and let her talk to you? You know what I mean? Like, there was a little bit of that, but at the same time I just felt like her character got the chance to talk the most out of the two of them, and, you know, when she had the opportunity, I felt her character was like weird enough or strange enough or kind of compelling enough, or maybe she was just cute, I don't know, you know. You know, to the point of where I was like, oh, I feel like she's doing a good job with this character, you know, and, you know, didn't have like a horrible accent, and, you know, there's definitely a part of me that they could have come across sounding like Colonel Klink, you know what I mean? So I don't know. But I felt the twins kind of came across like really good. And then they gave Scarlet Witch that moment at the end of the movie when, you know, Quicksilver bites it, which I didn't see coming. I don't know if any of you guys did, but
I knew someone was going to bite the bullet.
Yeah, I knew. I felt someone was going
to
do it.
They were setting it up to be Hawkeye.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Hawkeye thing, like the big reveal.
Yeah, let's go for it. Because, I mean, it made me like Hawkeye even more because this was one of those things where they definitely depart from the...
I was like, wait, what's happening?
From the comic book.
By
giving him a family. He's got a wife and kids, and
it's closer to the Ultimates. They're actually taking Hawkeye from the Ultimates 1 and 2 in the sense of also his ability, because Hawkeye in the regular Marvel, I mean, he's a great shot, but he's in the Ultimates, he's more like Bullseye. And I think in the movies, he's more like Bullseye in the sense of, like, he doesn't miss. And he's shooting things off the corner of his eyes, not looking, like he's doing all that crazy stuff. That's more from the Ultimates. And in the Ultimates, he has a family. And if I remember correctly, they all get murdered.
They all get murdered. That's right. I completely forgot about all
that. And this being a Joss Whedon movie, that was entirely possible.
Yeah. I thought they were dead. I thought they were all dead meat. Did anyone else think that? I was like, they're all dead.
I thought it was either them or him. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I thought they were all dead because I wanted him to hook up with Bobby Chase from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I want the Mockingbird Hawkeye. Like, that was the thing, is I'm sitting in the theater and I'm like, wait, he has a family? No, he can't. He's supposed to meet up. Like, my nerd gene kicked in and I was just like, no, this can't be. I was just kind of blown away by it. What did you guys think of, like, the way things proceed? Like, as far as, like, you know, Iron Man being like, I've got to create the ultimate blah blah blah, and Banner being like, well, I don't know if we should do this. Like, you know, it seems to me that we're sort of getting into a space where it's like, Tony Stark is, he says it at one point in the movie, like, we're like a mad scientist, but nobody's sort of really being, I mean, they are arguing with him, but, like, what did you guys think about Tony Stark in this movie, I guess, is my question.
I really missed, what's her name?
Me too.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Because
I felt like, I feel like she
is a good balance
him and brings out, like, a certain charm in him because he's always sort of trying to win her over, that without it, he just kind of comes off like a dick.
Yeah, absolutely. And go ahead, Corey.
I kind of felt like they were setting it up for the whole Civil War rift between him and Captain America.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt like a lot of him not being seen in such a good light, you know, that's a lot of establishing for that. I thought it was fine.
Yeah. But I mean, there's definitely, there's a part of me that's just like, like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's really smart, and he's part of the development of his character in the first Iron Man movie, and the thread that we've seen go through is that, you know, he made the mistake of being an arms dealer, saw that wasn't, like, the way to go, and now he's making sort of, like, even bigger mistakes and is not refusing to learn from them, you know what I mean? And it's just like, to me, that's it's a little iffy, you know what I'm saying?
I think part of what it, I mean, and certainly, like, what they've set up with the Agent Carter TV show and everything is that, like, he's a dude with, like, major daddy issues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that they're, you know, I feel like, in a way, this is sort of a continuance of, you know, it's like Ultron, in a way, sort of reflects his daddy issues because he has the same issues with Tony Stark that Tony Stark does with his dad.
At the end of Iron Man 3, you know, it almost sounds like he's retiring, like he's not going to be Iron Man anymore. So it kind of made sense when he was like, you know, he's setting up these, you know, the Legionnaires and then, you know, and then also Ultron, like he's trying to find a way out. He's trying to find his exit out so he can just, you know, go with Pepper Potts and just, that's it. They're done.
Yeah. They're
you know,
done.
So I, you know, I hear what you're saying about, you know, repeating the same mistakes, but you know, people do that.
Yeah. And, yeah. It's true.
Well,
it's true.
The problem I had with it, with Ultron and the Hulk in this movie was, it's just, the movie just felt a lot like the Avengers fighting themselves. You know, it's like the heroes are the villains at the same time type of thing. It's just like, okay, there's, I mean, you know, you're not really mad at Hulk, even though he practically destroyed
South Africa.
Right. And you're not really, you know, and you're not really mad at Tony, even though he created something that's trying to destroy the world. And it just falls, you know, a little.
Well,
I don't know. I feel like the Hulk versus the Hulkbuster Iron Man, that's what people have been wanting to see.
Oh, yeah,
for a
absolutely.
While. You know, like, I've been
the people what they want. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I was actually
a little
disappointed.
Cool to watch.
I was disappointed that Hulk lost that. He should have won.
Yeah, I think the Hulk should have won too. I totally agree with you. Like, I was like, what? Like, when they ended it. But,
yeah.
But that's the thing, Liad. That's the thing about Marvel
really
Comics, though. Marvel Comics has always had the heroes fighting or bitching or bickering at
sure.
each other. And
it's very classic
sure.
Marvel.
Yeah, and it's very.
But they do have good. But they do have good villains, and they are. I just think that most they don't own most of their own villains at this point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where their movies. That's where their movies are suffering, I think. I think maybe Daredevil kind of showed that in this movie, in the sense that, like, okay, you know, Fisk was a really good villain. You know, he wasn't so flat. And
well,
that's where.
But that's
because he's a big guy.
That's really. that's really interesting that you say that, because I thought Ultron was too nuanced. That was my problem with Ultron. And again, what I said before, where the more we talk about this sort of thing, the more I feel that Ultron really was an amalgam of like different moments from other villains, you know, as opposed to being the Ultron in the comic book, which is like
right.
The Ultron in the comic book, or to my recollection, and from what, for the ones that I've read, has always just been, had a singular notion and had like father issues with Hank Pym, you know, which I guess Paul, you were correct in that's in there. But at the same time, Ultron just wanted to kill everyone. He was one of the scariest. He wasn't like Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom wanted to rule everyone. He wasn't like the Joker, because the Joker in the end of it, he's kind of like a street thug. You know what I mean? He's
mm-hmm.
He's not like any other Marvel character. His singular thing is to kill. And I just feel like Ultron wasn't scary enough. Am I the only one who felt that? Because
no,
I felt
agree.
Like it wasn't really scary.
Yeah.
He could have been much more terrifying.
He could have been terrifying. And the thing is like, and obviously you want kids to see this movie, but I just, that was my biggest flaw with the whole movie, where I was kind of like sitting there and I'm like, really? Like Ultron like talking to the doctor and like making jokes and trying to convince, no, Ultron doesn't do that. He walks in the room, he grabs her by the wrist, he snaps her wrist, and he's like, you're going to do what I want to say, and you know, basically leaves her a blubbering mess. You know what I mean? Like, that's Ultron, you know. And
mm-hmm.
and to me, it was like that was so. Liad, you may be correct in like the weakness of the Marvel villain, but to me, it was the fact that he was too nuanced, or he had too much personality. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't feel like he needed that, and I felt like Ultron in this movie almost. Did you guys ever see that Kevin Costner Robin Hood movie? Kevin Costner,
yeah.
Robin Hood. Okay,
yeah.
So you know the Sheriff of Nottingham, right?
Yeah.
Like, in
right.
that movie, he's kind of like a buffoon and blah, 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 blah. And I remember seeing that movie when I was a kid and just being like, no, whatever happened to, like, the bad guys, like Darth Vader, right? Like, who show up and they choke a bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I'm saying. And I felt like they missed the boat with, like, Ultron on that, you know? And
I agree on that.
I think one thing that was kind of cool about Ultron too is that he would, because he's a computer program, he would evolve, you know.
Yeah,
so like
the
very early Ultron is just this, like, you know, transistor radio that's mad, and then, you know, as he goes, he gets new bodies, but he also, like, his strategy and his solution to how to resolve his programming changes, and he eventually ends up on the human race must be terminated, because that's the ultimate, you know, that's the problem with the planet, and that's how I be a good dad, son, and solve these problems.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, that's hard to do in obviously a movie when the comics, obviously he kept coming back over the years.
Yeah.
But it would have been neat, because he did change bodies a couple of times. So mm-hmm. I don't know, it kind of would have been neat if we saw his programming evolve. I guess there was a little bit of it, but it could have been a little more.
He got progressively jokier.
Yeah. I mean, that was sort of the thing, like the one that, again, that scene with the doctor where he wants her to build him a body. And that was the other thing that bugged me. I'm like, no, Ultron doesn't want to be human. He wants to freaking, he hates humans. You know what I mean? Like, he loathes everything about them. You know what I mean? So that was a little bit of my comic nerd thing kicking in, where I was like, God, you could have had such a terrifying villain to where, and again, it goes back to Liad, you may be correct again, like with the Kingpin, you know what I'm saying? Where the Kingpin was so bad, you know, just does so many horrible things that by the middle or whenever you are in the show, you're like, dude, Daredevil, you got to take this guy out. You know what I mean? Like he killed an old lady. He had her stabbed. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, that scene with the car door, like,
there was nothing
in this movie that came.
Well, for good reason.
Aside from Quicksilver, who dies?
Yeah.
No. But this
Christian,
movie is...
this will make you happy. When we were sitting there watching, we had a packed house there, Friday night. There was a guy and his kid sitting next to us, and the before the movie, they had an ad for Daredevil that ran.
Oh,
and
really?
The kid was like, "Oh, wow!" And the dad was like, "No, it's not for kids."
That's,
you know,
so great.
The kid was like, "I want to see that," and he's like, "No, it's not for kids."
Oh,
and,
that's so great.
You know, I mean, there's no way you're going to get away with anything that brutal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In, you know,
sure.
It's kind of funny, like, that on television, in a way, you can get away with more than, like, a movie. Now, granted, you know, it's subscription television, but, you know, television seems, like, way more graphic and,
well, there,
you know,
there's ways to make a villain scary without, I mean, look at Darth Vader, again, you know, to kids. Like, there's ways to make a villain without him having to slam somebody's head in a car door, you know what I mean?
Okay, well,
and that's what I felt was a big weakness in this movie, is that I get his agenda is horrifying, and he's trying to kind of access the nuclear codes, which I felt like people weren't freaked out enough about that, where they were kind of like, yeah, somebody's taking care of the nuclear codes. I don't know who it is, but you know what I mean? It's somebody.
Yeah.
He's taking care of it. We have no idea. And then, you know, it gets revealed that it's Jarvis, right? But there was a part of me that's like, if there was a mad robot that was in the internet trying to crack the nuclear code so he could exterminate the human race, I think I wouldn't be getting any sleep. I would be pacing the floor going, like, he's going to get in there. Like, what are we going to do? Like, this. And there was a bit too much calm about that.
Wow.
You know,
and that's sort of to the movie credit there, that, like, holy crap, like, you don't, like, they go through that so quick, you know, that you're just, that you don't have time to be like, you know, oh my God, we're screwed because of the, you know, but, you know, without Jarvis, we're all dead. What did you think of the Vision?
I liked him. When he first appeared, there was a little bit of like, I don't know about this guy. And but, like, once the movie went on and that final scene with him and Ultron, that was beautifully written. I thought that final scene with him and Ultron was fantastic. What about you guys?
Yeah, I liked that. I liked the part with Thor and Ultron and him, like that combination, the whole connection between the Vision and Thor was actually pretty interesting, and I like that.
Yeah. So basically, the Vision is like one of the keepers of, like, the Infinity Gems at this point, right?
Right. Yeah.
He's basically a walking android with the, what did they used to, did they call it in the comics his soul gem or something? Like, they used to call it something, the gem in the Vision's
yeah,
forehead.
They have the name, they're using the real names from the comics, if I remember correctly.
I think so, but his gem
was he never had the, like, a mind gem. It was never one of those.
No, he did have a gem in his forehead.
Yeah.
And they called the gem something, and I almost want to say they called it, like, his soul gem or something like that. I don't know. But I know that he had a gem that he shot lasers out of.
Which
that, you know, honestly, that's the greatest thing of it. Like, you see him using his phase attack. You see him using his laser. And again, it's almost like Rocket Raccoon, right? Like, they're just totally unapologetic. Yeah, we're going to have this red-faced android green dude. And he's that color scheme because, you know what I mean? And, you know, and we're just going to go with it. And you're not going to question it. And
no, you're not going to question it because, like, you know, he picked up the hammer.
Yeah.
He picked up the hammer. So, like,
which that kind of bugged me. I was a little bit, that was another nerd thing. I was like, no, he can't pick up the hammer.
I know what you're saying because it doesn't happen, but I like that part. That was something different from the comics that I actually enjoyed.
Yeah. And it was
I saw it coming, but it was, yeah, it was, you know, the minute he puts it down in the, you know, after that fight, it's like, okay, he put it down the exact same angle. It's like, somebody's going to pick it up. Probably going to be Vision.
Yeah.
But I did like I found it amusing, the Captain America and Iron Man conversation at the end when he's like, it's kind of like an elevator. It's just going up. The elevator isn't worthy.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. What did you guys think? Because the one thing that really nailed me, going back to the Hulk fight, like, which was crazy time, you know, I was crazy time. It was just like, I just, you know, just the destruction that like rained upon, you know, that area of Africa. Like, after that, don't you think everyone's like, we can't let this guy live? Like, really?
Yeah.
Like there was a part of me where it's like, none of the Avengers are like looking at each other going like, I don't know about this guy. Like, look at what he did. I mean, some people had to die in that, right? Like, I mean, that was huge.
Right.
Yeah, it was pretty devastating. And I think at that point, I think they spent a great deal of this movie not knowing exactly what they were going to do with him.
Oh, really? You know?
The next shot, they're in their Quinjet, and just the way he is, and everybody, you know, I think there is some sort of unspoken, like, okay, you can never be seen again.
Definitely.
But at the same time, they need him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's, you know, he's their Hulk, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They can't not have him in a way.
Yeah.
And I thought the way that they resolved that was really, you know, perfect. You know, it's very true to the comic. You know, he's off on his own, and damn it, give me a Hulk movie.
Exactly. Totally. You know, and well, that's the thing, is like at the end of the scene where, you know, he's in the Quinjet and she's like, I can't track you. I swear to God, I would have been like, I know that it probably would have been appropriate, but it would have been cool, like the sad Hulk sitting in the Quinjet and like bling 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 bling, like, you know, the piano music from the Hulk. Like, I would
just wait
like,
till it gets to YouTube, man.
Well, you know, but dealing with the talking about the Hulk also leads me to talk about, you know, Scarlet Witch, where it's like at some point it's kind of gonna get out that wasn't she helping Ultron? She's the one who kind of made the Hulk go berserk. Like, aren't we being a little like, yes, maybe they helped the country out in the end, but, you know,
the comics she reset reality, man.
Well, yeah, but that was like way after she joined the Avengers.
The Avengers, they were villains too. She was she was with the X-Men, and they, you know.
I know,
they,
but I'm just thinking.
You know, here's the interesting thing about the Marvel Universe. People don't matter, man.
Okay.
Like, normal people just don't matter. You'll see a reaction, you know, you'll have like a moment where they're in danger, you know, to be saved and stuff like that. But I mean, let's face it, if you want to matter, you've got to put on a costume and you've got to hang with the big dudes.
Absolutely true. God. I mean, Magneto was the, you know, in the Marvel Universe at some point, he was multiple times, I think, but at least once, was in charge of the X-Men.
Yeah.
And he is killed literally in the hundreds of thousands of people.
And then, he was a legitimate terrorist. And then
he
was forgiven.
Totally.
Yeah.
But he's wearing a mask now. He's fine.
He's
calling himself Zorn or whatever. He's fine. It's really interesting. I feel like, now that they're sort of opening it up to the enhanced humans, you know, kind of thing, they're opening up the whole can of worms of, like, sort of what does it mean to be a regular person in, you know, the Marvel Universe.
That's interesting. What about the sort of final, the final confrontation with, like, a whole city, like, almost a small country being, like, lifted up into the air? How did you guys feel that played out?
That was very
comic booky. That was fun. Very comic booky.
Super comic booky, really well staged, man.
Explained that, you know, in comic books, like, lifting up an island would just be like, of course it all stays together. Like, the reason it's staying together is because of the magnetic blah, blah, blah. You know, they actually, explained it quickly. Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, I thought that, like, I mean, certainly the action stuff that happened, like, from the middle toward the end of the movie was a lot less, like, you know, frenetic than that opening.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's really funny because I feel like, this happens to me with a lot of Marvel movies where the opening, like, 15, 20 minutes seems kind of weak, and then the movie just recovers, you know, and I don't know how they do that, because the opening 10 to 15, 20 minutes are supposed to be the most important part of your movie, like, setting the stage. But, like, Iron Man 3, it was that way. The first Avengers, I was like, uh-oh. Like, when I was watching the first Avengers and they have, like, them running away from the explosion in the beginning, and I was like, no, this is, like, a pet peeve of mine. They can't outrace the explosion. No. You know, and I was like, oh, my God, is the movie going to suck? And then, you know, it recovered for me after that. So, for me, it's really interesting because I was, in the beginning of the movie, I was like, ooh, I don't know about this. But, you know, it's funny because once they introduced, like, the twins and what they could do for me, I was like, okay, I got, like, really interested, because now we're getting to see, like, actual super villains, you know what I mean? Which is something that we've kind of sort of seen in the other movies, but these guys have powers, you know? So I was very interested to see how the Avengers would fight people with actual superpowers, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to, like, faceless aliens or, like, you know what I'm saying, the Winter Soldier, who's, like, got a bionic arm, like, you know,
right,
what I mean,
right.
Like, maybe it's just all semantics for me, but the other thing I kept thinking, and tell me if you guys got this feeling at all, do you feel like somebody at Marvel saw Man of Steel and was like, we can outdo that, like, the end of the Metropolis, like, blow up scene, like, where they were like, we could, the destruction we could rain upon the people is nothing compared to Man of Steel. Like, you know, did you guys get that feeling at all? Because I was like, wow, they're kind of...
I think it was more like, you know, we are definitely going to make sure all these people are saved.
Yeah, that's what I felt like. It didn't feel bigger than Man of Steel, but it definitely felt like, oh, hey, Superman? Yeah. No, this is what you do. You get the people away from the danger.
Yeah.
And what's kind of fun, too, is, like, they were saying, like, this is what S.H.I.E.L.D. is supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's right. They are actually supposed to be helping people, you know? That was really cool. So what do you think about the new lineup of the Avengers?
Well, it's a very classic Avengers to, you know, shake up the lineup. I kind of like it, because, like you say, like, you know, the solo movies, like, let them do their thing and then bring in these new characters, because we are getting, like, kind of backlog of supporting heroes, and so, like, yeah, let's put them in the front, and let's let two black characters be in the main Avengers movie, you know, let You know, let there be more than one woman, more than one token female being a team.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't the guy who's playing the Falcon, though, going to become Captain America in the next movie or something?
I mean,
we don't know.
I thought it was announced. Maybe I'm mistaken.
No,
it was in the comics.
It definitely wasn't announced. It's in the comics. But that's the thing, is like that third Civil War movie. I mean, I do feel like, what's his face? Captain America, the actor, blanking out.
Chris Evans.
I mean, I feel like that character's going to get taken out, like, at some point. And somebody else, whether it's the Winter Soldier, Bucky, which is what I would prefer to see before the Falcon, just because that's the way it happened in the comics. But, it seems like they're definitely setting Steve Rogers up for sort of a tragic end, especially at the end of the Avengers, where he's like, yeah, you know, at one point I thought I could have the normal life or whatever, but this is where I am. This is my home, like combat, fighting, you know. So I felt like that little speech was like, oh, even more Captain America, like, where's this going? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the new team is like a really ballsy move, because none of those characters save Captain America is going to have their own solo movie. You've got Ant-Man, you've got Doctor Strange, you've got who else? What else? There's
Black Panther,
Captain Marvel.
Which they did a lot of great setup for.
Yeah, they did. A lot of nods too.
But so when is this team of Avengers going to show up?
Next Avengers movie.
Well, no, because from what I've heard, Captain America Civil War is supposed to be like Avengers 2.5. Like, apparently, so I'm thinking they're going to show up in the next Captain America movie. Because,
yeah, probably.
You know, but that's the thing, is like, here's the thing with the Avengers. Do you show up to see Tony Stark making the jokes, being all cool, you know, being all, you know, smooth, and, you know, do the ladies show up to see Chris Hemsworth, like, flex his muscles with his long curly hair? You know what I'm saying? Like removing some of the players that have been around, that's a pretty ballsy move, especially since a lot of these other characters, you haven't got to know that well, or we don't even know if they have like great personalities, in my opinion.
I have a feeling that team is going to be the Avengers, but I don't think that means that those characters and actors aren't going to be in the movie. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know, there's the team, the roster, and then there's the cast. And so I think maybe just because they're not on the main team, I have a feeling they're still going to show up. Because you're right. Those are the draws. They're the A-list people.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think part of it is also contract reasons. I mean,
yeah,
honestly, I think part of this has to do with real life. Like, you know, Robert Downey Jr., he only signed for three Iron Man, I think. And, you know, some of the actors, Robert Downey Jr., what's his name, Nick Fury, like, they're also getting older, you know?
Yeah,
and
at a certain
point, you're also starting to lose that part of things as well. And they don't want to be playing... I mean, I'm sure they enjoy playing these characters, and I'm sure financially they enjoy it a lot too.
Sure.
But, you know, you still get... It's still, like, the same thing over and over again. They do have to mix it up and change it.
Yeah.
And, you know, tying this all in with, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, something's going to be happening with that as well.
That's what I'm saying, is, like, how is this all going to play out? Because you do have a Captain Marvel movie coming up, you've got the Inhumans, you do have another Guardians of the Galaxy, but how is this all going to tie into the Infinity War? Like, more TV shows? Because apparently Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well,
has another spinoff.
If you continue to pay $18 a ticket, I'll be happy to elaborate on that. No, I mean, you know, it's like I said, the train's moving. What I'm most curious about, what happens after Infinity War, man?
Yeah, I know.
Like,
right?
I mean, it seems like, you know, like, seems like Infinity War is like the thing that they, you know, they're really building up to. But it's like, well, what do you do after that? Are like, you know, we looking into, like, you know, House of M or something like
yeah.
that?
No,
like,
first you have to do Infinity Crusade, where everybody has weird religious metaphors.
Oh, my God. yeah, man. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, after that point, like, Kevin Feige retires, and he's like, I'm done. Now you're on your own. You know what
I'm
I mean?
I'm out. Good luck.
I'm out. I made my billions of dollars. I have, like, five houses in the Hamptons. You know, it's like, I'm done.
Dude, well, you know, whatever. As long as if sometime in my lifetime we get a Son of Satan movie,
I'm just hoping for a good Ghost Rider. Did you hear that Netflix is apparently developing The Punisher?
Yeah, that'll be great. That's perfect for them.
I know. It would be so good. Oh, my God. I can't wait to see, like, a series. Because if Daredevil is sort of like the template of what they could do, forget about it. Like, they could do The Punisher right, finally. Oh, man. All right. So I'm guessing we all were very enthusiastic about The Avengers. Who, right? I mean, we all liked it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Some better than others, but, you know, I mean, I felt like it was a solid, it wasn't like a Michael Bay Transformers movie, right?
No,
definitely not. Let's call it a solid triple.
Yeah, yeah. I would say it was a solid triple. I would agree with that. I don't think it's one of the best. I think the first Avengers was probably better in some ways, but in some ways I can't deny that there were some sequences in this movie where it was just like, oh my God, you know, where it was just like, you know, the little kid in me was just like, that's amazing. You know what I mean? So, you know,
yeah, I thought the character beats and chemistry were better in this one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think so.
Meaning what?
You know, looking at each of the nightmares and each of their little subplots, the whole bit of the characters kind of joking around with Thor's hammer, like who can lift it.
Yeah.
Things like that. Like there's a lot of like nice character interaction that I thought was a little bit stronger than it was in the first one.
Yeah.
And then each of the characters had their own sort of, you know, they all had their sort of track, their own plot, their own little subplot. You know, like Black Widow in particular, I thought was great. Like
I want
a Black Widow movie. Like she was great.
Absolutely.
In that.
Like, and that was the thing. Well, that's really interesting because they gave Hawkeye and Black Widow their sort of moment to shine, but they didn't save that moment for Pietro and Scarlet Witch, which is interesting. I mean, it could be argued that, you know, maybe in the next movie they'll give Scarlet Witch her moment. You know what I'm saying?
Like
they were waiting for this movie.
Aw, so Pietro's really never going to get his moment.
I don't know, man. There's the death gem, right? Like anything can, you know, Thanos can
bring him back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like
that's right.
Death is never permanent in comics.
It's the Marvel Universe. No one stays dead.
No one stays
Uncle
dead.
Ben.
Well, you know, not even at this point. But
right.
What's interesting to me is that, you know, there was no talk of like super metabolism. There was no talk of like super fast
which
healing.
I liked
that. It's just like, hey, the dude's fast.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need them. You know, that's the thing. I honestly don't need them to explain to me how the whole island is stuck together, even though it's lifting it up in there. I don't need the, like, the explanation was fine. It was quick. They didn't get into it.
Yeah.
Say it, move on. But I don't need to get into it. He moves super fast. Well, how can he move so fast through the air and with gravity? I don't care.
No, I was talking
fast.
About like, healing, like the fact that they didn't pull that trick out of the hat to keep him alive.
Yeah, I was surprised. That aspect of it, I was surprised about. I thought for sure he was going to survive it because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we're calling this a triple. A solid triple. All right, guys. And any last thoughts on Avengers Age of Ultron? Any other last thoughts, or should we just leave it at that? A solid triple, and we'll be going to see Ant-Man, I believe. Is everyone going to see Ant-Man? I'm going
I'll
to see
Ant-Man.
I'm going to Ant-Man.
The first trailer sucked, but like the ones after it, I think, have just got me like super curious now. So all right, cool. All right, well, this has been the Age of Ultron episode of Part-Time Fanboy. I'm Christian Horn. I am here with Corey Blake, Liad Goldberg, and Paul Edwards, and we will be back next week with another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. All right, I've gone too crazy.
Dude, you need to have that like echo.
The echo
just,
effect.
Just install that.
There's technology for that.
All right, thanks for listening. Bye.
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 Part-Time Fanboy.